right. Well, we're going to continue in week two here of our Come Home series. And so let me start off with this. Have you ever been lost before? Have you ever been lost? Yeah, I've been lost. Anybody? Okay. Not know where you needed to go, right? Have you ever wanted to go somewhere, but you didn't know how to get there? So like if we hold up this map, you might have thought, well, on the map, well, there's where I want to go. But then there's all these other pathways that take me away from where I want to go. You ever been there? Maybe you've been on a hiking trip, or you've been out in the woods, or you've been just walking through a city, and you're like, well, I want to go there, but what streets go left or right? What's the crosswalks? You ever been there? You want to go somewhere, but you didn't know how to get there, how to begin that journey. Many of us, we experience that a lot of times in our life or in our walk with Jesus. We're like, well, I want to be there. Like, I want to be there with my health or my finances, or, man, I want to be, you know, living by faith. I want to be doing this for Jesus, but how do I get there? But today, what I want to talk about is that there's a lot of people in our lives that we meet that want to be free from the darkness, that want to be free from just some of the drudgeries of life. They want to be free from shackles and chains, but they don't know how to get to Jesus. They don't know, how do I get back home? How do I get back to that relationship with Him? And so today, we're going to be talking about how do I come home? How do I make it home? How do I find my way home, as you would say? Have you ever been in your own life where you didn't know how to find your way somewhere, but the Lord led you by His goodness, by the Holy Spirit led you back to Him. He led you back to a place of repentance and a place of renewal and revival in your life. That's what we want to talk about today through the prodigal son, about there's places that we go sometimes that we get ourselves lost in, but there's always a way to come back home. There's always a pathway. And when we come back home, we're always going to be accepted back home. And so turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 24. And let me pull it up here myself here. All right. It says here, let me pull it up here. I thought I had it up here on my phone. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 24. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, remember, this is the son that left the father. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. All right, let us pray, church. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you here, God, in this just short little thought, I pray that, God, we will remember, God, when you called us home, Jesus, when you showed us the way to come back to you. We pray today that, God, as we meet people out in our families, in our workplaces, that, God, we would show them the path of righteousness, that we'd show them that, Jesus, you can lead us home, that you are calling us home. And I pray today, God, whenever we get to a spot, God, in our life, God, if we ever get to a spot, God, where we get confused and turned around, I pray that we would know that, Father, you're waiting for us, that you are waiting on that front porch, and you're calling us home through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would listen to your good spirit and that we would come to you, Jesus. And we just say thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 So you yourself might know someone that's confused right now or lost. They might be way out here and they want to get home to where Jesus is at. And so today I want to walk you through just how do you help someone find their way home? What do you do to get them back home? And so here's a few things. First is this. How do I find my way home? Is first, I realize I want to go home. How many of you, when you came to finally surrender your life to Christ, you finally made a commitment. I realized I need to go home. You came to a realization. I need Jesus. I'm in sin. And so Luke, in this first part of verse 17, he says, but he came to himself. He said, many of my father's servants, as you guys know, have enough food, but I perish with hunger. He came to a realization that I want to go back home. Remember, he left saying, I'm going to go live the high life. But then he came to a realization that I want to go back home. The first step of finding your way out of confusion and helping others out of their confusion is helping them realize that, man, you need to go back home. Do they have that desire to come back home? Second is this. They had to decide to go back home. How many of you know, it's one thing to say, oh, I need Jesus. It's another thing to say, you know what? I'm going to decide to follow Jesus. I'm going to pick up my cross, follow him, and confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that he's the Lord and Savior. There's one thing to realize, another thing to decide to go on that path. In that next verse in 18, he says, I will arise and go to my Father. He had to make a decision. He had to decide to do something, an action to return. It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, Jesus loves me. But we have to turn to him and repent and actually decide, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And so there's a lot of people, and I don't know about you, I meet a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I need God. But a lot of them have not decided to make that first step, to make that step to, I've got to decide to go to the Father, go to Jesus, to actually engage scriptures and go to someone and say, how do I know Christ? How do I encounter him? The third is this, the son had to actually then go home. It's one thing to say, I need Jesus. It's another thing to say, I'm going to decide to follow him. But then there's another thing to decide, I'm actually going to go where he's at and believe and follow him. And so in verse 28, he says, and he arose and he came to his father. There's a lot of people I've met here in Sudan. They realize they need Jesus. They decide, oh, I need to start following him. But they never gather with the saints. They never gather together. They never go to the place where they're going to be discipled, mentored, held accountable to live a life and to be close to Jesus and encounter those the other disciples that walk and follow Jesus. And so I would put it this way. I would say this. Every change starts with desire. Desire becomes a decision, and the decision becomes an action. A lot of us, myself included, I have a lot of good ideas. I have a lot of, oh, I want to do this or that. And I said, oh, I'm going to begin to decide. I begin to take a decisive action. But a lot of times, this is where I feel. I make a decision, and I'm like, I want to do this or that, or do this hobby, or complete this project. But then I really don't follow through. And a lot of people on their way to get out of confusion and the path back home, this is where this action step, it's really where they get lost. And this is where you and I, you've probably met people. They've decided, I need Jesus. Oh, I really want to come back to Christ. And they never put any action, traction behind it. And this is where we can help a lot of our friends and family and those that need them to say, hey, you've got to just not talk a good game. You've got to walk the walk. You've got to make this action step. And today, for a lot of us, it's one thing to come here on Sundays, even ourselves, but we have to make sure every day we're taking that action step to follow Christ and to live it out. Now, the next step after we realize I want to go home, decide, and then we actually go home, the next thing is to repent. Now, the scripture doesn't say the son came back to the father and said, hey, dad, hey, throw some meat on the barbecue. I'm going to go sit down and watch the football game. And hey, dad, can you do my chores? And hey, dad, everything's good. And hey, dad, I need some more money. What does the story say? The story says that he decided to come home and he repented. And in verse 20 to 21 here, he says he arose, came to his father. And as why he was a long way off, many of you know the story. The father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him. And the son could have said, oh, that's right, dad. Come give me some love. Come. That's right. You needed me back. But what does the son say? The son says, no, father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. There's a lot of people that realize they need Jesus. They decide, I'm going to begin to take that step towards Christ. I'm actually going to go to church. When they get to church, they think, you know what? Why do I need to repent? Or why do I need to change? Man, I can come in here and just kind of sit back in the back. But we all know the difference between those that have repented and decided and said that, Jesus, I am a sinner. I need saved. Versus those that just come and say, I'm good. I'm a good person. I'm at least here. Doesn't that count for something? Versus those that have truly said, I'm repenting, Lord, I need you. And in here, this fourth step, the son came and he realized that he had to repent. And so let me just offer up a few things here. Think about this with repentance. Remorse is sorry for the past, but doesn't want to change the future. Have you ever met remorseful Christians? I'll raise my hand. I was one. All right. I might be remorseful, yeah, but I didn't really want to do something that, or change my behavior or really submit to what Christ calls us to. Secondly, repentance changes future behavior so past mistakes won't be repeated. I don't know if about 10, 12 years ago, there was a movement and some theologians that said, oh, the word repentance, that's not really the right word. There were some more progressive liberal theologians that were talking about, repentance, that's a harsh word. You don't want to really call people to repentance. That's just, and it was this twisted, demonic dialogue which is completely antithetical scripture. But we know from this passage here, the son represents us. And we come to the father and we have to repent. And I summed up like this. Repentance is truly sorry plus a commitment to change is repentance. Are you truly sorry and is there a commitment to change? Not being perfect, but when we repent of our sins, do you truly desire to be different, to turn from them and go in a different pathway? And so when the son came home, he just shouldn't come back to the house and then go back to his old lifestyle. He had to change completely. And we know in the story, the son changed. He considered himself not even a son, but he said, Dad, I'll be a servant. He changed his mindset. Instead of being entitled, he said, I'm just thankful to be back in my father's house. I'm thankful to be received, and I'm willing to do whatever it is. His emotion and his mindset was changing in the story. Another thing regarding repentance, I would say, is this. There's obstacles to repentance in the pathway getting back home. Probably you've met people in your own family, your life. I've met people here that have come to church and talked to me after a service. And, you know, they say, well, Pastor Dan, I want to come back to Jesus. I want to know him. I know I need to be here. I know I'm a sinner. But they run into these obstacles. And these are the ones I wrote out. I think the three most common that I've ran into is blame, pride, and comparison. The first is blame. They'll blame themselves or they'll blame others. They'll be like, I can't repent. I don't know how, or man, it's just not worth it. They'll make up some type of blame of something. They say, well, I can't go all the way with repentance. The second of this is pride. Some of them, they'll come, they'll hear the message and they'll say, I don't need to repent. I mean, you know, I'm a good person, or I mean, I'm not that bad. And they say they put off repentance due to pride. And then lastly is comparison. They'll say once again, you know, well, I'm worse than Shar. Boy, I mean, I did some really bad things. Shar was better than me. I mean, God will forgive her, but not me. Or the inverse. They'll compare themselves and they'll miss out on repenting. But this is something we very commonly see in people's lives on their path back to Jesus. How many of you have you ever encountered this in your own life with obstacles, repentance of blame or pride or comparison, where we blame others or blame ourselves, where we have pride, think we don't need to repent, or there's comparisons, thinking, well, I'm either worse, I'm too bad, or others are too good, so why would God forgive me, or how would He accept me? And so, let me just end with this. Here's the truth I want to sum up. I can sum up everything from this portion of the story today. It's this: when I come home, I am forgiven. When we begin the journey, when we decide and realize I need to make a decision towards Christ to come back home to the Father, the truth is this: when I come home, I am forgiven. In Luke 15, 22 through 24, the ending of this passage, we all know this story. It's very familiar that the Father celebrates the Son coming home. Now, in our culture, we hear this a lot. Sometimes at the rummage sale, I'll ask people to come to church and they say, oh, if I come in here, I'm going to get struck by lightning. You ever heard that one, right? You know, if I come here, oh man, I've done so bad. And I'm like, that is such a demonic lie of the enemy woven through generations and centuries, because this is not the story that is presented to us by God our Father. It's that when I come home, I am forgiven. And if you see it here, I mean, you know, it's a very vivid imagery. The Father throws a party, you know, has a barbecue, invites everybody over, has some good music, and they start celebrating that the Son is alive and forgiven. He was lost and is found. On that road home, there's so many people that think when I get to that destination, that I'm going to be pushed out, I'm going to be locked out. But the truth is, when we come home, we have radical acceptance, radical forgiveness, radical new identity that the Father gives, and that we can help others experience when they come home to Jesus. Now, many of you know this verse, and it's a great verse to memorize. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I would encourage you today, there's many people that we need to help them find that road back home, find that place back home. And as I look around the room here today, many of you here, I think I can say everyone's probably, I think, a believer in this room. And so we are going to get to encounter people this week that are lost, that they want to get out of the mire and the muck they're in. They want to get over there, but they don't know how to come home. But when they decide to come home, they have a question: will the Father forgive me? Will I be cleansed? And I think for us today, if I can encourage you in one thing, is this, is that we need to believe this promise of Scripture, that if we confess our sins and come to the Father, He will forgive us. The church doesn't need to be in bondage or a lie, or if you're here today and you doubt that in your own life, whether you're 45, 15, 7, 75 here, 50 years old, we don't need to let the enemy play with their minds. or warp this, or thinking that I've gone too far, or I've done this too much. Because the Father welcomes us home, and he says he's faithful to forgive and to cleanse us. Just like the Father in the story did. He forgave his son. And if there's one thing I could preach to some of the people in our community, there's so many people in our community in Siouxland that are just, they're in bondage by this. I have no home. I can't come home. No one's going to accept me. I've went way too far. And I want to encourage us as we are believers here, as we go out, man, we can show people, hey, there's a pathway to freedom. There's a pathway to wholeness. There's a pathway to getting out of the sins and the chains and darkness that enslave us. And so let me just end with this. We need to help people realize, we need people to decide to do it, to actually make a decision to go home, to repent, and to hear those words, come home, and I love you, my son or my daughter. This is the action path. This is the roadmap of helping people get from sin and darkness. Or maybe if you're here today, maybe you're not necessarily, maybe you're not over here in the camp of, you know, outright disobedience to God, but maybe you've done some things. Maybe you're not listening to your mom or dad. Maybe you're not giving your full best at work or whatever it is. Put yourself wherever you're at. There is redemption and there is forgiveness. You can say, you know, I realize I need to do better. I'm going to decide to put, you know, the Lord in my life. I'm going to help him. You know, I'm going to decide to him to let him guide me, follow me, and to lead me. Excuse me. And I'm going to decide to actually commit to that. I'm going to repent. I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. This is a simple pathway for us to help us stay close to the Father and not be in bondage and not be away. And so with that today, I just want to encourage us that as we go out this week, look for those that are confused. Look for those that are looking for a roadmap to get out of where they're at. Tell them, hey, I know the plan. I know what you can do. You got to realize, make a decision, put some action behind that, and come home and repent. And the Father will welcome you with arms wide open. And so that's just a thought from that scripture today I just want to encourage us with, is that when I come home, I am forgiven. And I pray that all of us will live in that. And I pray that no matter wherever we go, that we will declare this very loud. That our Father welcomes us home. And that, yeah, while we were still sinners, we know, you know, many of you know the verse. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. And so if he'd do that while we were sinners, how much more when we face him and come to him? Will he be arms wide open? And man, put on the music, make some good breakfast food, right? Invite everybody over and say, look who's home. My son and my daughter's back home. So with that, stand up with me. We're going to.